Chapter 134 introduces the next. The passengers were landing from the packet on the pier at Calais. A low-lying place and a low-spirited place Calais was, with the tide ebbing out towards low water mark. There had been no more water on the bar than had sufficed to float the packet in, and now the bar itself, with a shallow break of sea over it, looked like a lazy marine monster just risen to the surface, whose form was indistinctly shown as it lay asleep. The meager lighthouse all in white, haunting the seaboard, as if it were the ghost of an edifice that at once had color and rotundity, dropped melancholy tears after its late buffeting by the waves. The long rows of gaunt black piles, slimy and wet and weather-worn, with funeral garlands of seaweed twisted about them by the late tide, might have represented an unsightly marine cemetery. Every wave-dashed, storm-beaten object was so low and so little, under the broad gray sky, in the noise of the wind and sea, and before the curling lines of surf, making at it ferociously, that the wonder was there was any Calais left, and that its low gates and low wall and low roofs and low ditches, and low sand hills and low ramparts and flat streets, had not yielded long ago to the undermining and besieging sea, like the fortifications children make on the seashore. After slipping among oozy piles and planks, stumbling up wet steps and encountering many salt difficulties, the passengers entered on their comfortless peregrination along the pier, where all the French vagabonds and English outlaws in the town, half the population, attended to prevent their recovery from bewilderment. After being minutely inspected by all the English, and claimed and reclaimed and counterclaimed as prizes by all the French in a hand-to-hand scuffle 3/4 of a mile long, they were at last free to enter the streets, and to make off in their various directions, hotly pursued. Clennam, harassed by more anxieties than one, was among this devoted band. Having rescued the most defenseless of his compatriots from situations of great extremity, he now went his way alone, or as nearly alone as he could be, with a native gentleman in a suit of grease, and a cap of the same material, giving chase at a distance of some 50 yards, and continually calling after him, "Hi! I say! You! Seer! I say! Nice odle!" Apostrophe, even this hospitable person, however, was left behind at last, and Clennam pursued his way, unmolested. There was a tranquil air in the town after the turbulence of the channel and the beach, and its stillness in that comparison was agreeable. He met new groups of his countrymen, who had all a straggling air of having at one time overblown themselves, like certain uncomfortable kinds of flowers, and of being now mere weeds. They had all an air, too, of lounging out a limited round, day after day, which strongly reminded him of the Marshalsea. But, taking no further note of them than was sufficient to give birth to the reflection, he sought out a certain street and number which he kept in his mind. So Panks said, apostrophe he murmured to himself, as he stopped before a dull house answering to the address. I suppose his information, to be correct, and his discovery, among Mr. Casby's loose papers, indisputable, but, without it, I should hardly have supposed this to be a likely place. Apostrophe, a dead sort of house, with a dead wall over the way, and a dead gateway at the side, where a pendant bell handle produced 2 dead tinkles, and a knocker produced a dead, flat, surface tapping, that seemed not to have depth enough in it to penetrate even the cracked door. However, the door jarred open on a dead sort of spring, and he closed it behind him as he entered a dull yard, soon brought to a close by another dead wall, where an attempt had been made to train some creeping shrubs, which were dead, and to make a little fountain in a grotto, which was dry, and to decorate that with a little statue, which was gone. The entry to the house was on the left, and it was garnished as the outer gateway was, with 2 printed bills in French and English, announcing furnished apartments to let, with immediate possession. A strong, cheerful peasant woman, all stocking, petticoat, white cap, and earring, stood here in a dark doorway, and said with a pleasant show of teeth, I say, seer. Who? Apostrophe, Clennam, replying in French, said the English lady, he wished to see the English lady. Enter then and descend, if you please, apostrophe returned the peasant woman, in French likewise. He did both, and followed her up a dark bare staircase to a back room on the first floor. Hence, there was a gloomy view of the yard that was dull, and of the shrubs that were dead, and of the fountain that was dry, and of the pedestal of the statue that was gone. Monsieur Blandois, apostrophe said Clennam. With pleasure, monsieur. Apostrophe, thereupon the woman withdrew and left him to look at the room. It was the pattern of room always, to be found in such a house. Cool, dull, and dark. Waxed floor very slippery. A room not large enough to skate in, nor adapted to the easy pursuit of any other occupation. Red and white curtained windows, little straw mat, little round table with a tumultuous assemblage of legs underneath, clumsy rush bottom chairs, two great red velvet armchairs affording plenty of space to be uncomfortable in, bureau, chimney glass in several pieces pretending to be in one piece, pair of gaudy vases of very artificial flowers, between them a Greek warrior with his helmet off, sacrificing a clock to the genius of France. After some pause, a door of communication with another room was opened, and a lady entered. She manifested great surprise on seeing Clennam, and her glance went round the room in search of someone else. Pardon me, Miss Wade. I am alone. Apostrophe, it was not your name that was brought to me. Apostrophe, no, I know that. Excuse me. I have already had experience that my name does not predispose you to an interview, and I ventured to mention the name of one I am in search of. Apostrophe, pray, apostrophe, she returned, motioning him to a chair so coldly that he remained standing. What name was it that you gave? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I mentioned the name of Blandois. Apostrophe, Blandois? Apostrophe, apostrophe, a name you are acquainted with. Apostrophe, it is strange, apostrophe, she said, frowning, that you should still press an undesired interest in me and my acquaintances, in me and my affairs, Mr. Clennam. I don't know what you mean. Apostrophe, pardon me. You know the name? Apostrophe, what can you have to do with the name? What can I have to do with the name? What can you have to do with my knowing, or not knowing any name? I know many names and I have forgotten many more. This may be in the one class, or it may be in the other, or I may never have heard it. I am acquainted with no reason for examining myself, or for being examined, about it. Apostrophe, if you will allow me, apostrophe said Clennam, I will tell you my reason for pressing the subject. I admit that I do press it, and I must beg you to forgive me, if I do so, very earnestly. The reason is all mine, I do not insinuate that it is in any way yours. Apostrophe, well, sir, apostrophe she returned, repeating a little less haughtily than before her former invitation to him to be seated. To which he now deferred, as she seated herself. I am at least glad to know that this is not another bondswoman of some friend of yours, who is bereft of free choice, and whom I have spirited away. I will hear your reason, if you please. Apostrophe, first, to identify the person of whom we speak, apostrophe said Clennam, let me observe that it is the person you met in London some time back. You will remember meeting him near the river in the Adelphi. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you mix yourself most unaccountably with my business, apostrophe she replied, looking full at him with stern displeasure. How do you know that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I entreat you, not to take it ill. By mere accident. Apostrophe, what accident? Apostrophe, apostrophe, solely the accident of coming upon you in the street and seeing the meeting. Apostrophe, do you speak of yourself, or of someone else? Apostrophe, apostrophe, of myself. I saw it. apostrophe, to be sure it was in the open street, apostrophe, she observed, after a few moments of less and less angry reflection. 50 people might have seen it. It would have signified nothing if they had. Apostrophe, nor do I make my having seen it of any moment, nor otherwise than as an explanation of my coming here, do I connect my visit with it, or the favor, that I have to ask. Apostrophe, oh. You have to ask a favor. It occurred to me, apostrophe, and the handsome face looked bitterly at him, that your manner was softened, Mr. Clennam. Apostrophe, he was content to protest against this by a slight action without contesting it in words. He then referred to Blandois's disappearance, of which it was probable she had heard. However probable it was to him, she had heard of no such thing. Let him look round him, she said, and judge for himself what general intelligence was likely to reach the ears of a woman who had been shut up there, while it was rife, devouring her own heart. When she had uttered this denial, which he believed to be true, she asked him what he meant by disappearance. That led to his narrating the circumstances in detail, and expressing something of his anxiety, to discover what had really become of the man, and to repel the dark suspicions that clouded about his mother's house. She heard him with evident surprise, and with more marks of suppressed interest than he had seen in her. Still they did not overcome her distant, proud, and self-secluded manner. When he had finished, she said nothing but these words. You have not yet told me, sir, what I have to do with it, or what the favor is. Will you be so good as come to that? Apostrophe, I assume, apostrophe, said Arthur, persevering, in his endeavor to soften her scornful demeanor, that being in communication, may I say, confidential communication? With this person, apostrophe, you may say, of course, whatever you like, apostrophe, she remarked. But I do not subscribe to your assumptions, Mr. Clennam, or to anyone's. Apostrophe, apostrophe, that being, at least in personal communication with him, apostrophe, said Clennam, changing the form of his position in the hope of making it unobjectionable, you can tell me something of his antecedents, pursuits, habits, usual place of residence. Can give me some little clue by which to seek him out in the likeliest manner, and either produce him, or establish what has become of him. This is the favor I ask, and I ask it in a distress of mind for which I hope you will feel some consideration. If you should have any reason for imposing conditions upon me, I will respect it without asking what it is. Apostrophe, you chanced to see me in the street with the man, apostrophe, she observed, after being, to his mortification, evidently more occupied with her own reflections on the matter than with his appeal. Then you knew the man before? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not before, afterwards. I never saw him before, but I saw him again on this very night of his disappearance. In my mother's room, in fact. I left him there. You will read in this paper all that is known of him. Apostrophe, he handed her one of the printed bills, which she read with a steady and attentive face. This is more than I knew of him, apostrophe, she said, giving it back. Clennam's looks expressed his heavy disappointment, perhaps his incredulity, for she added in the same unsympathetic tone. You don't believe it. Still, it is so. As to personal communication, it seems that there was personal communication between him and your mother, and yet you say you believe her declaration, that she knows no more of him. Apostrophe, apostrophe, a sufficiently expressive hint of suspicion was conveyed in these words, and in the smile by which they were accompanied, to bring the blood into Clennam's cheeks. Come, sir, apostrophe, she said, with a cruel pleasure in repeating the stab, I will be as open with you as you can desire. I will confess that, if I cared for my credit which I do not, or had a good name to preserve which I have not, for I am utterly indifferent to its being considered good or bad, I should regard myself as heavily compromised by having had anything to do with this fellow. Yet he never passed in at my door, never sat in colloquy with me until midnight. apostrophe, she took her revenge for her old grudge in thus turning his subject against him. Hers was not the nature to spare him, and she had no compunction. That he is a low, mercenary wretch, that I first saw him prowling about Italy where I was, not long ago, and that I hired him there, as the suitable instrument of a purpose I happened to have, I have no objection to tell you. In short, it was worth my while, for my own pleasure the gratification of a strong feeling, to pay a spy who would fetch and carry for money. I paid this creature. And I dare say that, if I had wanted to make such a bargain, and if I could have paid him enough, and if he could have done it in the dark, free from all risk, he would have taken any life with as little scruple as he took my money. That, at least, is my opinion of him, and I see it is not very far removed from yours. Your mother's opinion of him, I am to assume,
following your example of assuming this and that, was vastly different.
Apostrophe, my mother, let me remind you, apostrophe said Clennam, was first brought into communication with him in the unlucky course of business. Apostrophe, it appears to have been an unlucky course of business, that last brought her into communication with him, apostrophe returned Miss Wade, and business hours on that occasion were late. Apostrophe, you imply, apostrophe said Arthur, smarting under these cool-handed thrusts, of which he had deeply felt the force already, that there was something apostrophe, Mr. Clennam, apostrophe she composedly interrupted. Recollect that I do not speak by implication about the man. He is, I say again without disguise, a low mercenary wretch. I suppose such a creature goes where there is occasion for him. If I had not had occasion for him, you would not have seen him and me together. Apostrophe, run by her persistence in keeping that dark side of the case before him, of which there was a half-hidden shadow in his own breast, Clennam was silent. I have spoken of him as still living, apostrophe she added, but he may have been put out of the way for anything I know. For anything I care, also. I have no further occasion for him. Apostrophe, with a heavy sigh and a despondent air, Arthur Clennam slowly rose. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.